Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always a delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We're asking you today to remember that telephone number, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to our studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. We're going to be focused today on a subject that I believe is very timely: how to vet a candidate. Perhaps you've wondered down through the years, and especially in this very tight governor's race that we're in for the state of Florida, perhaps you've wondered, what should we do? What question should we ask? How would we determine which is the better candidate to place in the governor's office in Tallahassee starting next year? I believe that we have some answers, and I believe we need to recognize that according to the scripture in Proverbs 29:2, the Bible says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. That's been a challenge for me for less than 100 years. I participated in every election, local, state, and national, since I registered to vote less than 100 years ago. And I am thankful for the privilege. God's given us that wonderful, wonderful privilege and opportunity to determine the type of government we're going to have and to make the decision by looking at with a very, very clear biblical view as to each candidate and what each candidate stands for and what they have done, what they are doing, what they shall do. So that's where we're going today as we face the issues. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. We call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, God makes a declaratory statement about the word of God. "Thy word is truth." And ladies and gentlemen, as I've said so many, many, many times, the Bible doesn't contain truth. The Bible is truth. Thy word is truth. Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." That's a pretty soft pillow to place any head on, is to realize the truth of the Lord, that's the truth of the word of God, endures forever. You don't need to go out and have another reversion or revision or modification or change. As a recent pastor, as it was called, said, we need to do away with the Old Testament, the New Testament, and just rewrite it so that it fits the current society in which we're living in. There's a good Greek word for that: horse feathers. That's exactly what we do not need. We need to study the word, know the word, and embrace the word, and use the word of God as our tool, the instrument in our hands to make a determination of what we need to do. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the secularist George Orwell in his dystopian novel of 1984. In fact, it was published in 1947, 48, 49, entitled 1984. It was Orwell that said, and may I quote, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we find that we're in that era today that perhaps as never before is factual. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made a profound statement. DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint says: "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible." If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. And ladies and gentlemen, according to a research that was done, headline reads, "Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth." And this article is profound in its position. It says the major areas where truth is not handled appropriately or truth is out of hand rejected is in government, the media, and in academia. In fact, they say in this article about academia, says it's fashionable in academia today and for decades to say that truth is relative, or that it's simply a matter of individual perception or cultural mores, or even that there's no such thing as absolute truth. And ladies and gentlemen, that would be bad enough, but according to a survey that was done less than 2 years ago, about 18 months now, the survey of younger Americans, headline says, most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, 55% of the 18 to 35-year-old age group make the statement, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, ladies and gentlemen, and I believe it is, we're in serious, serious trouble in America, especially when it comes election time, of making a decision based on truth. Truth as to what we ought to do, especially as Christians, conservatives, and patriots. That's my challenge each and every day. I make a statement, and I quote from the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. A little parenthetical footnote to that. That's what Charlie Kirk was doing, was defending the truth, and it cost him his life. In fact, Jan Hus that made that statement, when being burned at the stake, his last words he screamed, truth shall prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the position that we ought to take today in recognizing the need to stand for truth. This is the reason it's so important in this election cycle. Now, time won't allow us to go into details about all of the elections that's taken place across America and from the presidential standpoint and from the congressional standpoint, but we're going to be talking about the local election, in particular, the governor's race here in the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a benchmark and identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me take a moment, do a little pre-monologue, and get into the context of what we're talking about today in relationship to the issue of how to vet a candidate. Now, perhaps you've already voted. I hope that you have. Perhaps you voted correctly, and I pray that you have. Perhaps you wonder now, why did I cast my vote like I did? It's too late to recall that vote. For those that are listening, that if you've not voted, I'm prayerful today that you will listen prayerfully and analyze carefully that which you need to do in casting the ballot. God has given us in the United States of America the precious privilege of being able to vote for what we want and who we would have to be the leadership in our nation. Perhaps you've heard me say, and I've said it thousands of times over the past less than 100 years on the broadcast, that God's word is very, very clear as to what we need to do and how we need to respond. Proverbs 14:34, the scripture says, righteousness, that is rightness before God, exalted, that means to lift up, to glorify the nation. But sin is a reproach, that is a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. That should challenge us as Christians, conservatives, and patriots today. The Bible teaches us, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be discerning. Discerning. Now, some people say, judge not lest you should be judged. And that's in Matthew 7. And you look at the text, as you look at the further verses, it is not talking about condemning someone to hell as judgment. It is saying that we need to be good discerners of what is truth. And I've challenged us today to discern truth from error. We need to judge. Listen, when I go into a restaurant, I look at the menu. Some of them have about 40 different plates on there that you could order from. I look down that menu, and I'm judging, discerning, what should I order? What is best for me? And the same thing applies when it comes to what we're doing in relationship to our leadership role, the ones we place in that leadership role, especially here in the state of Florida, as we talk about the governor's race. Listen, we need to recognize that we can't just blindly vote for someone. Listen, I'm going to stop in a moment, and we're going to interview three ladies that's going to talk about this. But we should not just simply go into the ballot box and blindly vote for a person that a high-profile person has endorsed. You understand what I'm saying? Just because a high-profile person endorses a person, we shouldn't blindly follow it. I listened to an individual recently that said, well, the president has recommended this person, and as a result of that, that's the person that we ought to vote for. I have said, you know, again, it's another Greek word, horse feathers. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that God holds us individually and collectively as an individual and as a nation, as a city, and as a state. God holds us responsible for who we put in the leadership role. It is simply a fact. You can go back and you can verify it from any resource you'd like. It is a fact that a nation will not go any higher spiritually, morally, ethically, than that person that we put in the president's Oval Office and those people that are spiritual leaders in our nation. So we need to be very, very careful as to who we put in the office that we're talking about today, the governor's office. Listen, the Florida primary election we have today and tomorrow. You hear me? It's all over 2 days from now. The decision that you make, the decision that I make in casting our ballot, which is a sacred trust for our nation, we need to be very, very careful that it's the individual that God would have us to vote for. We're going to talk about today some of the characteristics, some of the conduct, and what we need to look at in relationship to the governor's office. We have with us today Karen, Natalie, and Jerry. Karen, I want you to take just a moment. What is your passion? We don't need to get into the nuts and bolts of what we're talking about. What is your passion when it comes to an election like this?
Oh, my. When it comes to an election like this, I'm looking for someone who is going to do the right thing, not just say what they think is the right thing. Mm-hmm. You've been talking about truth. Truth in politics is a fascinating subject.
Yes, it is.
And
they generally do not match.
They generally do not. They generally do not. And if you're not paying attention, and they are, most politicians are very, very clear on the fact that people do not pay attention anymore. Mm-hmm. They're not keeping up with it. They're not watching the news. They're not attending any kind of event or function where politics is discussed. They think they're above it, and they do not want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So they are totally uninformed, and they depend on being uninformed. Mm-hmm. So that when they say something, you're going to take it at face value, and off they go. You've got to look at the actions.
That's right.
Beyond the speech.
Absolutely. And I believe it was Slick Willie,
yes,
William Jefferson Clinton. They made the statement, people forget after about 6 months. And I think that is one of the deficits that we have as Christians, conservatives, and patriots. There's a mindset that, well, that person's in office, it's not the best one, and I didn't vote, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that we're in a very critical moment in our state and in our nation. So, Natalie, tell us, why are you passionate about this election, especially when it comes to the governor's race? What is it about it that you're personally concerned about, the end result, and what it would be?
Yes. The key issues that I factor into this race are going to be around parental rights and education. I'm also a big fan of looking in deeper on health freedom issues. And then a lot of the affordability things that are going on. We have a lot of opportunities to make our residents a more prosperous, more affordable living. So things like the hyperscale AI data centers and what that's going to do to us in an affordability way, or even removing property taxes. So going back to parental rights and education, we have made a lot of progress. We actually still have a lot more progress to make. Same thing with health freedom. A lot of people think of us as the free state of Florida, and we are, but a lot of those laws have not been codified. So there are some things that are still done by executive order. We need to go back, and that's what there's a call for the special session right now. So if those issues matter to you, those are the ones that matter to me right now, the highest priority.
Amen. Well, Natalie, one of the things you touched on that, and I go to the executive branch in the Oval Office, the president. Most people have forgotten, I think, some of the executive orders that President Trump issued in 2017 and following. And immediately when Sleepy Joe, Autopen Joe Biden, right, came into office, he canceled them.
Immediately.
We need to recognize that there's a need to have a person in the executive branch that will not just have executive orders, those are good, but will go beyond that and codify it through legislation, that it makes permanent what that special leader will do for our state. I am thankful that we have some, and we'll talk about it, thankful that we have some today, one in particular that I believe is the candidate of choice. And I don't mind our listeners knowing, our folks in our congregation already know how I operate. I get the ballot in the mail. I fill it out, make copies of it, put it in the bulletin, and call it the pastor's picks. So that everybody in our congregation and everybody that visits, they know how I'm going to vote. Mm-hmm. And I don't make any secret about it. I'm going to vote for the candidate that's more closely related to what God's Word says.
Right.
That doesn't mean, ladies and gentlemen, that the candidate must be a Christian, but I want one that is more relatable to the biblical values than just somebody that says, well, I'm going to do it in a blanket statement. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we have also with us around the round table here in the studio, Jerry. Jerry, speak to that for a moment. Why are you passionate about it? And we'll talk about in a moment the issue down at close at hand about which candidate. But why are you passionate about this election? What is it about this election that in your mind is so vastly different from previous elections?
I think we're in a spiritual war. And as a chaplain, I see how important with the Islamic overtake all over the country, that we need a governor that is going to lead this state, a governor that is strong, a governor that is proven that he understands state politics, because state politics are not the same as federal politics. And I feel it's important that we have someone that is protecting us for our constitutional rights, and invasion of privacy with all this AI data centers and all these flock cameras. We need to know that we have someone that's got our back.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Love to have you put in, as some have called it, your 2 cents worth. You can have even a nickel's worth today if you'd like to. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Three things I want to ask you today, ladies and gentlemen. As you're tuned in, have you already voted? You don't have to call in and say how you have voted otherwise, but I want to know what motivated you for your vote. What were the main things that you were considering as you cast a ballot for the candidate? And then, if you would allow me to do so, I'll ask you who you voted for and then why you voted for that person. And then I want us to talk about, not in an argumentative sense, but we'll talk about why it is so vital for us to recognize each of these candidates in particular. In the governor's race, I believe, Karen, we've got, is it 11 or 12 that's running?
I think it's 17.
Is it?
total. On the Republican ballot, I believe it's 12.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, it's on the Republican ballot. That's all I'm counting today.
Sorry.
I can't count beyond that. But anyway, on the Republican ballot, we got about 11 or 12 candidates on there. And I watch the morning news, and I'm an early bird. I generally have breakfast by 7 o'clock, but I'm watching the news, and I watched two or three very, very negative broadcasts this morning. In fact, some of the candidates that I believe are the front runners in reality, I believe that are the most important, one of the most important candidates in the governor's race, that was left out of the percentage bank completely. They gave one that his numbers dropped from 2 weeks ago, 46% supposedly, to this morning to 36%, and it is my prayer that that will continue to tumble as people get out and vote today and tomorrow. So let me challenge you at this very moment. If you have not voted, vote. It is a God-given right, a privilege that we have as American citizens to vote. And I say that tucked in the back of my mind, still concerned about whether or not all votes will be counted. as you know, in 2020, there was a major, major, major deficit because of our voting machines. Let me just tuck this in. I find it fascinating, Karen, that MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell, the voting machine company, a software company, had a $1 billion suit against him. And all of a sudden, 4 weeks ago, they dropped the suit.
Right.
If their suit was real, why did they drop the suit? And it's simply because, in my most humble opinion, they knew that the machines were rigged. They knew that there was a backdoor to the machines. They knew that they had been fixed. Just as, and I've repeated this 1,000 times, in Venezuela, Maduro supposedly won by 91% of the vote.
Right.
And it was determined then that he was not the real winner of the election.
Right.
And the statement was from our own political leadership and hierarchy in America that because the voting machines were rigged. Well, and guess what? They were the same machines we used in America.
Exactly. The same machines. And they dropped the suit not because they knew all of those things had happened. And of course they knew that. They dropped the suit because, going back to your opening, because the truth is coming out.
That's right.
Because we actually found documentation now. We've been able to, fortunately, we've got Republicans in Washington, D.C., and they've been able to go through the files and the hidden files, and now the truth is coming out. So when the truth finally sees light,
I call it unpeeling the election fraud onion.
There you go. That's an interesting onion.
And the more we unpeel the onion, the more we're finding the truth of what took place. And while we're on that.
Okay, can I add something else? Talking about that, you were talking about the president's picks and how and a lot of people go, oh, well, he's been so right about everybody else. He has chosen apparently pretty well on congressional candidates. But 3 out of 3 picks or endorsements for governors in other states, all 3 have lost. All 3 have lost. There's a lot of hype. There's a lot of press. And I tell you what, if the press is pushing somebody, look the other way.
That's right.
Find another candidate.
Vote the opposite direction.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I'm basically hoping that in Florida, we're going to make his record 0-4 instead of 0-3.
Absolutely.
Because this guy that he's pushing is just not good for Florida in so many, many, many ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Going back to the thought just a moment ago, we had a lot of the press, a lot of the socialist, Marxist, communist media, and the politicians in those categories that said that Trump's suits, in fact, Trump and his orbit, had filed 67 suits about the 2020 election. Not one was tried in court.
Right.
And yet the media will tell you that all of the suits failed, the court said that he was not right, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
Now it's coming around that my question is, when will the Marxist media apologize for their deception in relationship
to
the...
Good luck with that one.
That's right. When will they apologize? I don't think we... don't hold your breath.
No.
They're going to do that.
No, don't.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. There's 11 or 12 candidates running for governor on the Republican ticket. When you walk in the booth at the election office, you'll find on your sheet the option to pick a candidate. And I'm going to talk about today, if you would allow me to do so, and then I'd love to hear from you, if you would challenge that in any way, and we'll have the challenge on a civil basis, but at the same time, I'd love to hear an argument against what I'm about to say. For Karen, Natalie, and Jerry, as we're talking about this today out of a passion for wanting to see God's hand at work. In fact, in the rally yesterday for Paul Renner, my prayer was in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. And there's a need for our land to be healed today, and it will not happen, I believe, based on the authority of Scripture, unless we as Christians, conservatives, and patriots make the right decision on the ballot box and who we vote for, ladies and gentlemen. That's the reason in these final, what is it? I believe
hours.
We've got 2 hours to go. And the final time that we have on the broadcast today, we're going to talk about a candidate that I believe deserves our attention, our prayer, our conviction, and our vote. And that candidate happens to be one that I believe takes a stand as you and I would take. Let me, Karen, start with you and make a few statements, and then we'll go around the table. Which candidate openly talks about Christian faith, Christian values, and Christian commitment more than all the others?
That would be Paul Renner.
And what does that mean to you?
That means to me that he is unashamed of wearing his Christianity while he's out on, not only on the campaign trail, but I can tell you, having watched him for many years in office, he wears it when he's serving the people.
Amen.
in Tallahassee. I don't see anything to indicate any change in that. He is a godly man.
Absolutely. So, Natalie, in my interviews that I've had with Paul Renner, ladies and gentlemen, Paul is 59 years old. And I reckon when I look back at one time I was there.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah. As I tell people, I'm still less than 100 years old. But he's about the age of our number two son. And so I can relate to that. And I'm thankful for the wisdom and for the strength that God has given him, Natalie. And I find nothing wrong with a candidate saying, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord, I stand for truth. During the course of one of my interviews with Paul Renner, sitting here at the round table, I asked him questions. There was not a flinch, there was not a question, there was not a delay, there was not any digression on answering the questions. I said, Paul, what place does faith play in what you're doing in your candidacy of running for governor? And he said, it is the first and foremost thing in my life. In fact, and looking at it, Paul said he wanted to take the faith journey and tell me about his relationship to Christ and how it shaped his life and led him to running for the candidacy of governor of the state of Florida. So with that being said, and from a Christian perspective, would we rather have a person that openly says, I'm a faith believer, I follow Christ, want to be obedient to the word? Are we better off with that? Or someone that the president has endorsed? Now, I'm not trying to in any way cast a shadow of doubt on President Trump. I love what he's doing.
Right.
I'm thankful for having him in office. I'm thankful for God's divine intervention in giving him to us. But I don't believe that as Christians, we need to take that as the final say-so as to who we vote for. So from that standpoint, talk about that for a moment.
Sure. Paul Renner, in the last week or so, kind of in this last stretch of the campaign, every night around 8 o'clock or so, he does kind of an Ask Me Anything, where he goes on a Facebook Live and welcomes any question from any constituent about anything. Two or three nights ago, I guess it was, somebody asked and said something like, how are you going to separate your faith from your leadership? And he very swiftly answered.
That's an odd question. And
it was, but of course, remember, this isn't Ask Me Anything. This isn't necessarily a supporters-only environment. This is just an open environment. And of course, his answer was swift and firm and quick, and he said, I'm not. It's, you know, I start with the truth, and that's a capital T truth. And it will always lead me first. So I have no intention of separating my faith from my leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was just a very, you know, graceful way to say, you know, this is who I am. Vote for me or not, but you will not get a different version of me.
Amen. It's not the look at me now as a candidate, look at me when I'm sitting in the office mindset.
Right.
It's mindset, as I tell people, if you see me in Publix, if you see me on the street, if you see me in public life, or you see me in the pulpit, or you see me on Sunday, it's still me.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm a little wary with the politicians that's reverse of that.
Yeah.
Jerry, one question, and we'll respond to it before we take the top of the hour news break. From the Christian perspective, from the spiritual perspective, from the biblical perspective, would you say that Paul Renner is the top of the list for the candidate that Christians should vote for?
Yes, I do, because he's a man of character. He put $2 million of his own money to fight 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
The other candidates, they said, well, we were against it, but he did the action.
When you say fight 3 and 4, we're talking about the 2024 election.
The amendment 3 and 4.
The amendment 3 and 4.
Marijuana.
What were the,
marijuana and the Planned Parenthood bill.
Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, I have a delight. I've been delighted that that's the stand. I took that stand for months and months and months battling that and talking about that on this radio broadcast, and he stood with us. By the way, he stood for the truth in that, and so did our governor, Ron DeSantis, of which I am very, very thankful for. And so the question that we close out this portion of the broadcast, do we want a follow-up very much like Ron DeSantis, or do we want someone to come in that has the Washingtonite mindset that says, even though he's in Washington, I'm going